the key themes were about the need to have progressive jurisprudence and judicial pronouncements and the leadership from the judiciary in responding to HIV in the region. Very much that the judiciary had an important role to play in promoting and protecting human rights.
And as you say, judicial engagement in this HIV response is one of the key features. Can you tell us about this so-called handbook for the judiciary? What does that hope to do?
It's an important tool, actually, for bringing together key principles and good practice and how the judiciary can interpret the law to protect human rights. It really outlines what are the key issues that are likely to come up in courts in relation to HIV. So, for example, issues around criminal law, issues around mandatory testing. So what is how the law really intersects with HIV. So it's a good compilation of the issues that are likely to come before the courts in a range of settings, the kinds of good practice that has happened in other countries that can be shared to provide the judges with some guidance as they interpret the law.
And judges, of course, are not one huge homogenous group. They work within local social and cultural mores as well, not to mention local legal environment and laws. What challenges does that pose, do you think, in terms of a more helpful approach for at-risk populations?
You're absolutely right in saying that, you know, judges work in different social and cultural contexts. What is common to all these social and cultural contexts is their responsibility in terms of protecting human rights, and that cuts across all settings. So I think what this book does well is it sets out the key human rights considerations and legal considerations that judges need to consider in making decisions relating to key populations who tend to be quite adversely affected by HIV. And I think one of the things that the meeting has done and that the book does very well, the handbook does very well, and also a compendium of judicial decisions that UNDP has assembled as a resource for the judges as well, is that it sets out the basic human rights principles and the applications of these principles in the context of HIV, you know, in terms of protecting those who are most vulnerable. That collection of resources is also very useful for the judges.
The Bangkok meeting, of course, was attended by senior judges from over 16 Asia-Pacific countries. Were examples presented at that meeting of how judges and their decisions might be able to help create a more supportive environment?
Absolutely, and I think there's a lot of progressive jurisprudence from an interpretation of the law in Asia and the Pacific, and there were very good examples shared of how, for example, in India, the Supreme Court struck down the provision criminalizing homosexuality and the impact that could have on HIV in that population. Similarly, cases that have been considered around intellectual property and patents in a number of jurisdictions, really how the jurisprudence on intellectual property is really very progressive in countries in the region and how that's making a difference to improving access to treatment, not just for HIV, but for medicines in general and the impact that can have.
What about in Pacific Island states? Which countries do you think might have the best practice in terms of judgments and decisions to create a more supportive environment?
There's a range of different judgments, but I think on key populations, Fiji has certainly been leading the way. You know, New Zealand has some very progressive jurisprudence. So there's some good examples in both those countries.
Well, you mentioned Fiji, and according to UNDP figures, 37% of respondents reported discriminatory reactions of healthcare workers, for instance, on discovering their HIV status. What role do you think judges can play in influencing community attitudes?
Well, I think judges are leaders in the community. You know, the community looks to them to be, you know, unbiased, to rely on evidence and to protect human rights. So I think they can certainly play a role in reducing stigma both within the courtroom, within the legal community, but also in the community at large.
And what about Papua New Guinea? PNG, of course, has a huge HIV challenge. What is your data telling you about what's happening in PNG?
You know, we had a very prominent judge here from Papua New Guinea at the dialogue as well. And I think, you know, really what's very powerful about about meetings like this is that I think there's an opportunity to share good practice and strategies across different countries. So even where maybe the law has not played as prominent a role as it could have, and I'm not saying this is necessarily true for PNG, but for a range of countries, listening to how judges have applied human rights principles and looked at evidence in other jurisdictions can help to inspire action. I think, you know, stigma and discrimination is an issue across the world. So this region is really no different, that even where there has been tremendous progress in prevention and treatment results, much more needs to be done to address stigma and discrimination.
The Bangkok meeting also heard from representatives of HIV groups and communities as well. What did they have to say in terms of their respective judicial and legal environments?
They've all said that in many cases it's wonderful to see the progressive interpretation of the law and the judicial leadership, but access to justice still remains a big gap. There's still much more to do in terms of judicial engagement as well as strengthening key institutions like, you know, the courts and judicial training institutions and making them more HIV sensitive, as well as, you know, making sure that there's better access to legal services, they're affordable, they're good quality legal services available. So the big gap that you heard from the communities was we need to really bring the law closer to the people, and communities need to feel like the law is a tool that's accessible to them as well. And what's been good about this dialogue is that, you know, it's really brought together public health evidence, human rights, and the law for the judges to consider those together. That's the way to make good decisions that will have a positive effect on the HIV epidemic, and not to base their judgments on bias. And these are big, complex questions.